You are Locked On Texans, your daily Houston Texans podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
In today's show, we dive into pro football-focused defensive grades, and who should the Texans consider to solve their cornerback issues? We have a suggestion. Welcome aboard, everybody. Robert Land from the Houston Sports Talk Podcast, along with my co-host, Brian Patterson from Fansided's HouseofHouston.com. Thanks for diving into Locked On Texans, your best daily source of Texans news, views, and interviews. On Tuesday, the Texans shuffled the deck chairs on the Titanic of their cornerback room, so to speak. They released preseason week one hero and friend of the show, Josh Thornton, and signed Bryce Jones, who spent some time in training camp with the Texans last year. Brian, it's time we bring up the name Dominic Rogers-Cromartie. The 32-year-old is a two-time Pro Bowler, still a free agent. His pro football focus grades last year were almost identical to Jonathan Joseph. He's a third cornerback on a good team, and that's what he'd be with the Texans. Maybe the Texans aren't interested because he couldn't get along with his head coach last year. Ben McAdoo and Rogers-Cromartie weren't best of friends, and so Dominic was suspended for a game. The question, Brian, also should be asked, did McAdoo get along with anybody, because he's gone now anyway?
Yeah. With McAdoo, you know, it was just the situation of him just not being a very good coach and his team just not having much faith in his capabilities being able to coach. But the difference is Bill O'Brien, you know, regardless of what you say about him, he does command this, you know, respect of all the men that he's leading. He does possess those qualities of a leader, but maybe Bill O'Brien saying, I don't want to deal with that. I don't want to deal with all that drama that he had. You know, they look at that, and that's a factor. But in terms of coming in and we need help, I'm surprised that they haven't even inquired about him.
Maybe they have inquired about him. And the thing that you do know about him is that he's a veteran. He probably didn't want to go through training camp all the way through. He probably didn't want to sit in Houston hot summers if he was interested in coming to Houston. So that's all part of the equation. But we're just a couple of weeks away from the season. I still see that he's out there. It's still a possibility. I think it's something to plant in the back of everybody's mind.
Yeah, it's something that you have to think about in terms of being able to sign up. We need help at all cost, and I don't think these guys that they're bringing in, like Bryce Jones, is going to make much of a dent in terms of getting us, you know, back on the right side as far as depth with the cornerback. I would have loved to have Josh Thornton here. He was on the upswing. He got hurt. I guess he's not in a situation where he's going to be able to heal fast enough to where he's worth keeping on this roster. So it sucks for him.
Right. And I tell you what, watching the Texans in practice today, and we're going to get into Pro Football Focus grades on this particular guy, but D Virgin, your boy, I'm just going to title him that, your boy from now on. he had a couple of interceptions off of Deshaun Watson, not Joe Webb, not Brandon Whedon. I think both of those were off of Deshaun Watson out at camp. And also even Brian Peters had an interception. So Deshaun, he didn't look too good. But the only thing that really concerned me, though, is there was a moment, and you can't hit the quarterback at, you know, what they're doing right now. There's no hitting Deshaun, obviously. And then all of a sudden I look up and right after a play, he starts limping a little bit. And you could just see like a couple of us media members were like, you know, zeroing our focus a little bit across the field. Is that Deshaun limping a little bit? What's he doing? And as a fan too myself, you know, I'm like having heart palpitations all of a sudden, like, what's up? But then he just sort of walks around a little bit. And by the next play, he seemed okay. I saw him scramble late for, you know, this little 10-yard scramble when they were running some 11-on-11 stuff. So, you know, I mean, that's the way it's going to be. Like Deshaun, you know, if there's just this little slight little thing, you just all of a sudden you're starting to have sweats. You're checking your deodorant, seeing how that's doing. I mean, it's just that's what it's going to be with Deshaun Watson and this Texans team. I mean, you know, he's a guy that you just rely so much on, and he had me scared a little bit, I'll be honest with you.
Yeah. It's just going to be those moments, yeah, where you just worry about that. But again, I think Deshaun Watson is going to be just fine. You brought up a great point. I totally agree.
All right. I think we had a head coach or former head coach out there doing some scouting for the Texans, Brian, and you're not gonna believe who it was. He might be stealing something. I don't know. No, he's not stealing anything. It's Jeff Van Gundy was out there. JVG. JVG deciding at practice today.
One of my favorite Rockets coaches. Just wish, you know, there was rumors of him coming back to be able to coach this team. And we were looking for somebody else to bring back, you know, and we went on and went with Mike D'Antoni, which is proven to be great for this system. But, you know, I wanted Jeff Van Gundy because I wanted to get back to not having a dominant defense. But with him being out of the game this long, being in the broadcast booth, I had my concerns, but I really wanted to bring him in. But again, you know, Mike D'Antoni has been great for the Rockets, so no regrets there. But again, my second most favorite Rockets coach of all time.
Thankfully, they practiced indoors this time, and so I got a little bit of air conditioning. I know you guys are all concerned about me out there, about my health and well-being out in the heat, but no, it was good. And
I was worried.
The players have gotta love that too. I mean, who wants to be out in the heat for Houston summers? And you're not gonna play in a ton of heat early in the season, are you, Brian? Are you really gonna play in any heat early in the season? They open up on the road in New England. I can't imagine New England being super hot by the time September rolls around. And what's the second game of the season? I'm blanking on it right now.
That's going to still be on the road. That's against the Titans, September 16th. So they'll be Tennessee. That might be a bit warm.
Yeah, Nashville, it could be a little bit. But Nashville's, it's not humid. You know, you're not going to be dealing with that, I don't think. So, and then you're back at home and the air conditioned comfort of the plush air conditioned comfort of NRG Stadium. So it's not something I think they're going to have to be too concerned about for most of the beginning of the season. So, you know, I mean, you want him to be in shape. You want him to be able to handle some things. But I think teams are getting a lot smarter about how to do all this stuff. But, hey, we got to get into these Pro Football Focus grades. We got to look at the defense. Yesterday we looked at the offense if you missed it. Of course, you know, if you go back a couple of days, I know you couldn't have missed this one, but we did our post-game show. We had standouts from that. So make sure you go listen to those shows. And if you're enjoying Locked On Texans, tell all your Texans friends. Let them know they can find us on Spotify, the Google Podcast app, iTunes. Hey, most anywhere you'll find your favorite podcast. And do us a favor. Share the links to our show with your social media followers so we can bring more people to this party, so we can keep bringing you this. We also want you to be a part of the conversation. So email LockedOnTexans@mail.com for questions or comments. Hey, we asked you yesterday, please send us where you're listening from. If you're not listening from Houston or maybe Texas, if you're out there in the hinterlands or in another country or wherever, it's LockedOnTexans@mail.com. Just email us there. We'd love to hear from you. All right, Brian, let's get into these defensive Pro Football Focus grades for the second week. What did you see that grabbed your attention?
What grabbed my attention is the number one grade for this game. And, you know, we had a little bit of a debate back on when we were talking about the post game Sunday after Saturday night's game. So the top ranked, defender in terms of his grade were Pro Football Focus.
Let me guess. It's Duke Ejiofor, right? He was great again. It has to be Duke Ejiofor, right?
We'll have to talk about that.
Dylan Cole. It's got to be Dylan Cole then. I mean, Dylan Cole's incredible. It's got to be Cole, right?
He's up there, but let's talk about who's at the top, and that's Andre Sacheré. I just want to make sure I have it right. Sacheré is how you pronounce that, and he had a 90.1 elite. That's near a perfect grade.
Now,
defense.
That's got to be a print. You sure you're looking at that right? You sure you don't have it upside down or anything like that? It's a 60, not a 90?
I'm looking at this. This is a grade for San Francisco versus the Houston Texans. I've got it up here on my screen. I'm having to wipe my eyes myself, but I saw a lot of good out there and I talked about it. Just the explosive tackling that he was able to do. I mean, he gave up 16 yards, which is second lowest among the team, and he was targeted the third most out of all the cornerbacks that were out there. Of course, he didn't start, but he took 34 snaps. That's meaningful. He also had the highest graded coverage with a 90.4. So, you know, you definitely have to say that Sasha Ray is back in the conversation in terms of making this team. This is an undrafted free agent from San Jose State. You know, we talked with Muhammad Bafaki about, you know, Sasha Ray having that chance of being able to make the team along with Jermaine Kelly.
And he did it with 34 snaps. It's not a small sample size either, Brian.
Right. He took care of business. And let's go down the list. Dylan Cole was number two, 81.4. Joel Heath, 81. Wow. And that's going to be a flash in the pan. I'm telling you that right now. I'm pretty sure you agree with me there. But surprisingly, number four, Davin Bellamy, 78.3. That's your fourth ranked defensive player for that game.
And we had to show him some love because we didn't mention him, and he did have the interception, and it was a nice interception that he had off a real good play to jar the ball loose. I'm trying to remember who that was. Was that Gilchrist that jarred the ball loose on that one?
I believe so. Kenan Gilchrist. I believe that was him that did it, but I can't remember 100% sure on that exact play. It all happened so fast in front of my eyes, but I do remember the interception by Bellamy.
Right. And then the next on your list is Justin Reed, and Justin Reed didn't look so good the first game, but I thought I saw some signs in the Pro Football Focus numbers said that, and one thing that I want to make note of, Brian, is Ty Matthews said after practice today, he said, look, Justin Reed, he's trying too hard. He's doing the try too hard thing right now, and he needs to just be himself. He's got to be more patient. He's got to let things come to him. He may be trying to force stuff. He goes, that's what rookies do. You know, that's what you're going to do early on. He's not concerned about him. Ty Matthews isn't. So Justin Reed, I'm real confident from what I've seen in this kid. You don't see it as much on as far as the preseason tape goes, but I'm telling you, you're out there. You will go on a daily basis. Justin Reed is going to be fine.
Yeah, and I was very hard on him. You know, I was tweeting on Tansy Houston. I said he was playing like hot garbage, and obviously you must have seen that tweet, or somebody must have gotten that message to him, I'm hoping, because, you know, he turned out with a 77.6, so that's still pretty decent. That's still fifth best out of all the defenders. Let's talk about the guys that underperform. Your lowest grades are going to go to Kevin Johnson before he got the concussion. Is holding at a 31.6. He was the lowest graded defensive player.
Only three snaps, though. Only three snaps.
Wow. I mean, that's where he was last year. He was, you know, at a 32, I believe, for his grade overall last season. But, oh, I just, you know, in three snaps, that's the best grade you can get. That still concerns me. Aaron Colvin, 45.6. That's off of 22 snaps. And then Diversion, 46.4. That's off at 32 snaps. So Divergent is having those opportunities out there. But, you know, I'm hopeful that, you know, he's able to translate what he did in practice today out on the field. But I still have my I have my concerns about him if he's going to be able to make this team. And I did not, you know, in the past. But looking at Duke Ejiofor, 63, so he's in the middle of the pack. He's, you know, 17th highest grade. I just thought he looked great out there just because of the way he was on the ball. And that may have been, we got to look at his special teams grade, but I thought he looked pretty good out there. He started, you know, at left outside linebacker through 27 snaps, which I thought, I think he did pretty decent with the job that he did out there. But in terms of our draft picks for this year, outside of Justin Reed, the highest grade also goes to Peter Kalambai. We were concerned. We talked about it last show. You know, what is Peter going to do? He turns into 72.5 off of 20 snaps.
Right. I mean, Peter Kalambai, it's going to be a work in progress, but he's going to have to make his name on special teams. I mean, that's where you need somebody like that to make his name. And when you're looking at these guys trying to make the team in the next 2 weeks, what matters on these fringe guys, watch their special teams, see what they're doing, see who looks good in those areas. Curtis Drummond, people might be going, why is Curtis Drummond still around? Well, Curtis Drummond, Brian, finished with a 74, second highest special teams grade among the Texans. The first was Jordan Thomas, but it's only involved with three plays, but Curtis Drummond had 10 plays. Ejiofor, you talked about what he did that first play of the game. He gets the big tackle on special teams, and Ejiofor was number two on special teams. Brennan Scarlett, he's a guy that's going to have to stay on the roster with special teams. He was number three. So these are things that you're going to have to keep an eye on with all of these guys. Corey Moore, he's in the top 10. He's like at number nine on special teams in this game. And Corey Moore is fighting desperately to keep a roster spot.
Yeah, and you wouldn't think that with Corey because, you know, he's been a mainstay for the past couple of seasons. But there's a lot of competition at that position, especially with us getting the opportunity to being able to draft Justin Reed. He fell right into our laps. So he's certainly going to be fighting for a spot. But I think we're going to find a way to squeeze him in there.
The one thing that I'm kind of curious about is, you know, they got Johnson Bottomosi for special teams. And you look at his numbers, they were not that great in week two for special teams. If I go back to the first week of special teams, I'm a scan to see how he did. And he's playing, you know, he's a guy that you figure is an automatic to make the team. I guess he's an automatic. The second week, again, it's very mediocre. I was expecting this guy to flash, Brian. And one of the big improvements that I thought we would see from this team is special teams in coverage and things like that. I think they look okay. I don't think they look special. And that's what I want to see from some of these guys. Obviously, the main special teams guys aren't going to be playing as much because it's a preseason game. But that's where Johnson Bottomosi is going to make a name for. He's not making a name for himself as a cornerback. So he's going to have to do that or he's no good to the Texans.
Yeah, and we say this, but his dead cap figure is $3.2 million this season. He's going to be here. So there's no doubt. Now, next year, yeah, he's got a two-year deal. I think it's about $6 million, if I'm not mistaken. But his cap hit is $500,000. So and then you could cut him then if he doesn't have a good year. But Bottomosi will be here. Had the second lowest grade out of all the special teams guys. He had a 56.5. You know, a guy that's supposed to be a specialist. There's nothing really special about that particular grade. And you know what, Rob? You talked about the special teams looking okay but not special. That's better than what we've had the past couple of seasons. You know, certainly, we need some improvement. It's going to take some time, but if we are trending in the right direction, if we are able to make plays out there, I am okay with it because we have so much talent in other areas that could make up for that.
You got anything else, anything fun as far as the grades go, or you want to move on?
What I did want to talk about as far as who was good with the pass rush. I just wanted to let you know that Carlos Watkins turned in a pretty damn good grade last week. He's a 76.8 as far as his defensive grade. That's still, I believe, in the top 15. His pass rush was the highest, 84.6. So we might have found something out of Carlos Watkins. If I can remember correctly, he was a fourth or fifth round pick. I have to go back and look. I know he was kind of right in the middle there. We just kind of snatched him up in the middle of the draft.
Fourth round pick, yeah.
Fourth round, yeah, that's right. Yeah, I was trying to remember. But 31 snaps and then 19 of them were pass rushing. You've got another weapon on the pass rush along with Duke Ejiofor. So keep your eye on Carlos. He's really flashing right now, and that's a guy to keep your eye on. He didn't even start, and he was putting up those numbers.
We got to take a listener question next. He has a good one for us, and I don't know if we've got any good answers for him, but we'll try. Before we do that, quick reminder, if you'd like to check out more shows from our national Locked On Network, 100 podcasts, just about 100 in our network right now. Go to LockedOnSports.com. It's our Locked On Network website. 2.5 million downloads is what we're averaging per month with the podcast for nearly every NFL and NBA team and adding Major League Baseball and college sports. Check out maybe your college team has a podcast now in our network. Check it out. It's all on LockedOnSports.com. That's LockedOnSports.com. All right, Brian, let's talk a little bit to our listeners because they got a good question for us. Who do you have and what's the question?
The question comes from my friend of the show, RJ Flores. And thanks so much for listening. Thanks for being, with us here with Locked On Texans. We appreciate you. And your question is, are the starters going to play in game three?
Or he wants to know how long they're going to play. It's much tougher than are they going to play, because they are. There's guys that are going to play. I mean, Bill O'Brien kind of indicated that. But how long, Brian? How long do you think they're going to play?
Well, that depends on the player. So if it's Deshaun Watson, if you're asking the question about Deshaun, I would expect Deshaun to be in there for a full quarter, just to get his legs fresh. And, you know, we hope to see some touchdown drives out of him. J.J. Watt, I would be surprised if he doesn't play any more than maybe one or two series and then he's out of there. Whitney Mercilus, I would not be surprised if I don't see him at all until the first game of the season. So, you know, those are some examples of some starters. But you're going to see some time very early in from the starters, mostly in the first quarter, and then they're going to go on and sit down. But your stars, you're going to see a little bit of them, and then that's it. They're going to go to the bench. That's how I think that's all going to play out in terms of what we are about to see. We may see a little bit of Hop, too, but it's going to be short and sweet, and he's going to exit the stage left gracefully.
Right. The main starters, like the big guys, we're talking about the key guys, Deshaun and JJ. And you mentioned Whitney Mercilus, Clowney, Ty Matthew, just throw out DeAndre Hopkins, Will Fuller. I think maximum, I would say two series. I would say two series would be maximum. Deshaun's been playing one series. I think you give him another series, unless it's a short series, unless maybe Deshaun doesn't make a throw, or it's a three and out or something like that, or the first two series are really short. So I would say two series, maybe if something weird happens, they get a third series, like I said. But, you know, I expect Whitney to play. I think Whitney will play. I'm not worried about Whitney's injury last year was a pectoral. This is not a knee or a groin or a hamstring that you're worried about, or an ankle. Pectorals are real, they're real weird. They're not, it's not something that, you know, I mean, I don't know how you protect a pectoral beyond, you know, I think he's fine. JJ, you're worried about because of the back and because of the, you know, after last year, because of the leg, and Deshaun with, of course, the ACL stuff. Those guys, there's so much more important. Whitney is big, but he's not obviously JJ or Deshaun or Jadeveon. Those are your main three guys, and maybe you throw in Nuke in that mix as well. And Nuke's not coming off any injuries. He doesn't have an injury history. Find some wood to knock on as I say that. But yeah, that's what I'm expecting.
My question to you is, I know we probably don't know the answer to that question, is why have they been so protected of him? Why haven't we seen him this preseason so far? I guess maybe they're waiting till this game. So I just don't understand why they've been so protective of him off of pectoral muscle, unless that's something, there's something that we don't know about that they just want to hold back from us. I have no idea.
Don't know. I mean, I just would trust the Texans because they've...
Trust the Texans? Rob, have you gone nuts?
Well, they do have a new training staff, Brian. We keep saying it. It's the best in the NFL. That's what I know. So, you know, I mean, I understand, you know, you're not trusting the Texans, but Rick Smith is gone. You know, if you're a Rick Smith hater, he's gone. If you don't trust Bill O'Brien, I guess. But, you know,
you're stuck with him.
Yeah, I mean,
5 years.
Yeah, and I don't think it's Bill O'Brien. That's not a Bill O'Brien, like, all his decision for sure. So
now a lot of heads are in that decision. So I totally understand that.
Tomorrow, we got Andy Rio, our fantasy guru, is going to be with us, and we might talk more a little bit as far as some of the national, because there's some interesting stuff going on around the league during the preseason. But you definitely want to stay tuned for that one. And of course, the game's on Saturday. We're going to have a post-game show on Saturday, so be ready for that. You know, you're done with the game. Give us a little bit of time. We got to record it. We're going to break it down a little bit, and then we'll get it up to you as quickly as possible. But within a couple hours after the game, I think we should have a podcast, so keep an eye out for that Saturday night, I would say, because that's an afternoon game. So let's wrap things up for this one, though. Brian has got everything covered in Rockets, Astros, and Texans on houseofhouston.com, a fan site affiliate, my Houston Sports Talk podcast. We're going to keep bringing you good stuff. Go back into the library, too. There's some great interviews there. Not sure if we're going to have anybody. It's just going to be me and RG maybe doing a quick Astros hit this week. But check that out. We're going to close out this show, with some J.J. Watt. He was asked what he needed to happen on the field to feel like he was all the way back. When he gets out there, we're assuming he gets out there for this third game, this third preseason game. That's what he was asked, because Andrew Luck said he needed to get sacked. And so the question was, well, if Andrew Luck needs to get sacked, what do you need, JJ?
I mean, I'm not sure I need to get pancake blocked or anything, but I mean, you just want to hit the pads. I mean, you want to try and make a tackle. You know, when you make a tackle in a game, it's part of it's just your wind. You know, you need to get that second wind after you make a tackle. You get up, you get back to the line, and go to make another play. There's just, you got to get into that type of rhythm, because you never get to tackle in practice. So he'd like to get out there and do a couple things. But I think in 2012, I missed the entire training camp. I didn't play a game because I had my elbow. That season turned out okay. I think a couple years ago, I didn't play in the preseason at all. So I'm not terribly worried about not playing much at all. So
you are Locked On Texans, your daily Houston Texans podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.